Everyone is talking to me about climate change action, and there's no question that that's something that is going to be front and centre in this by-election and in the general election coming up next year. People want to see action, and I think they are sick to death of just the complete paralysis on this important issue.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Australian Politics Live. I'm Catherine Murphy, political editor of Guardian Australia, and I'm also the host of this show. This week, with the Wentworth by-election now, well, heading for full swing, I'm not sure that it's entirely at full swing. I think it'll get crazier before it doesn't. But with the Wentworth by-election underway, I thought it was a good opportunity to bring Dr. Karen Phelps into the studio. Now, if you happen to have been under a rock and not observed what's happening in the Wentworth by-election, Karen Phelps has stepped forward as an independent to contest that seat. It's a very critical by-election. If the Liberal Party loses that seat, which seems impossible given they hold it by a margin of 17%, but in the current climate, it's not rated as a certainty. So if the Liberal Party lose the seat, Scott Morrison is forced back into minority government, which could lead to, as Malcolm Turnbull might have said, some very exciting times. Anyway, Karen Phelps, the guest, listen up. Karen Phelps, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Okay, so Wentworth has a margin of 17%. What on earth makes you think you can win it?
I always knew it would be an enormous task, but I think it's something that is worthwhile doing. We've got to try. I think it's time for an independent voice in Wentworth. There are a lot of people who are very upset about what happened to Malcolm Turnbull, and they're very upset about the Liberal Party and a lot of its policies and actions over recent times. And there are people who have asked me if I will stand as a local independent for Wentworth.
Mm-hmm. And we'll unpack the policies and the differences between you and major party positions as we go on in the conversation. But I haven't had a chance to get out into the electorate, so tell me what the mood's like. You've mentioned that people are very angry about how Malcolm Turnbull lost his job, which you would expect in the circumstances. But what's the mood like? How are you being received?
Well, I've been a local doctor in the area for about 20 years, and so I'm very much in touch with the sentiments of people in Wentworth. But being out on the street, you get even more of an impression because they're people who don't already have an existing relationship with me as their doctor. And what they're telling me is that they are really annoyed about this by-election. They are upset about the way Malcolm Turnbull was treated. Mm-hmm. He was a very popular local member. He was a popular prime minister in the area. And they don't like the way he was treated. And they certainly don't like the actions of the hard right. And there's a lot of anger against people like Tony Abbott and Peter Dutton and Erica Betts and Matthias Cormann for the way they moved against Malcolm Turnbull and forced this by-election. But more so, people are telling me that they are not happy with the policies of the Liberal Party and they want to see some socially progressive policies but with economic responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a nice sort of segue into who you are as a political figure. Now, obviously, I've covered politics for a very long time. I'm well aware of you because you're a very high-profile person, but because I'm not a Sydney person, I'm really not aware of your politics at all. I couldn't describe them to anyone if they asked me. So let's describe them to the listeners. How would you describe yourself as a political figure? What's your philosophy?
It really comes down to one word, and that is independent. If you have to pigeonhole me in any way, I'm socially progressive and economically sensible. Mm-hmm. And I care about the community, I care about people, and the issues that affect people's human lives are the issues that I care about. And that's, you know, whether they can get appropriate health services, whether that's affordable and accessible for them, what's happening in our public education system, what's happening in the world more broadly, how are we treating asylum seekers very poorly. That's something that I've been very vocal about right back to my AMA days in the early 2000s. Climate change action needs to happen, and it's not happening, but it needs to happen in a way that encourages business to invest in renewables, because mm-hmm. at the moment there's a lot of uncertainty about government policy because there isn't one on climate change.
That's a nice way to put it.
And so we need to see a more secure environment for business to have the confidence to invest in renewables, because that will ultimately, within not too many years, bring power prices prices down. People are concerned about social inclusion. They want diversity. They want respect for other human beings in our country. And they want social justice. So I guess in a nutshell, that's the explanation of my politics. But I also come from a background of working class parents who had aspirations for us to be educated. My family upbringing was very much one that was founded on a good education and solid principles around the value of money and of hard work. And I went to the public schooling system in primary school and high school. I had a scholarship to go to university. So I understand also the very great importance of educational choice and educational decisions for parents.
Do you think it'll be, sticking with climate change for a minute, because I gather from third party groups that there'll be a fair bit of activity in this by-election, both on climate change and on asylum seekers. Just specifically, you think there should be more investment in renewables, but can we flesh that out a little bit? What sort of policy are you in favour of? Are you in favour of a carbon price? Have you thought that deeply about it? Or where do you line up in those debates that have basically paralysed the country for the last 10 years?
Well, let's start with talking about climate change. I'm no newcomer to this debate. When I was AMA president back in 2002, I brought together a summit of environmental groups to talk about climate change and human health. And we, for the first time, were able to join the dots between those two issues, climate change and what its outcome was going to be for human health. And the AMA developed its first ever policy under my leadership on that issue. And so I've been thinking about this for a very long time, about what we are doing to the environment in terms of health outcomes for people. And of course, one of those outcomes is around climate change. Now, how we approach climate change, there are all sorts of levers that you can pull. But the point is, we have to decide on how we are going to proceed.
We have to do something.
We do have to do something. The thing is that business is getting across this. I mean, sustainability is the great buzzword in business now. I've run businesses for over 30 years. And I know that you make economic decisions based on what it's going to mean, not only to your bottom line, but also to your image as a business, you know. And so sustainability is now a principle that businesses are willing to get behind. And I'm seeing this on City of Sydney Council too, because there are incentives for businesses to do the right thing. But one of the great incentives is it does start to make economic sense.
So do you think climate change will be a big issue in the by-election?
Climate change is a huge issue. I was out at Rose Bay Ferry Wharf this morning. I've been out on the streets at King's Cross Station, Edgecliff Station, in the shops around Double Bay, Rose Bay, out at Watson's Bay. Everyone is talking to me about climate change action. And there's no question that that's something that is going to be front and centre in this by-election and in the general election coming up next year. People want to see action, and I think they are sick to death of just the complete paralysis on this important issue. Mm. It will affect our future. I mean, I have children and a grandchild, and I care about the planet that is going to be left for them to deal with.
Mm. Well, I'm glad it's not just me anyway that's thoroughly sick of it. And on asylum seekers, which you referenced, what do you want to see happen? The AMA made a pretty forceful intervention into this debate last week. What do you want to see happen?
Well, again, I'm no newcomer to the issue of asylum seekers. I was an advocate for children being removed from detention back in the time when Ruddock was the relevant minister back in the early 2000s. Again, I brought together a summit of people who were advocates in the area of mental health and well-being, and advocated for that way back in the early 2000s. And I have been talking through this campaign about the importance of people in asylum, who are asylum seekers on Manus and Nauru, having much more humane treatment. Now, there is at the moment a bipartisan policy of offshore processing and third country settlement. The thing is that we're seeing the offshore processing, but these people who are already from very traumatised backgrounds are being further traumatised and punished by coming to Manus and to Nauru by our Australian government. And what I am saying is that this must not happen in our name. The appalling treatment of asylum seekers is just not acceptable, and it's not acceptable for Australia, and it's not acceptable to all of the people that I am talking about. And, you know, even through these last few weeks when I've been talking to people on the street, is an issue that keeps on coming up because they know that I have spoken out about it. I support the AMA's call for a group of medical and psychological professionals to go to Manus and to Nauru and to have a look at what is going on as an independent observer and to be able to bring back recommendations about what can be done to improve the situation there.
What do you think, though, about Tony Bartone's position, which ultimately it is exactly as you describe, send over a delegation, make an assessment, report to the public about conditions. He also, though, said for a cohort of these kids, there's about 30 of them that appear to be in appalling shape and have been the subject, some of them, of medical transfers, others not so much. What do we do with them?
I think we need to have an urgent solution, particularly for the children who are on Manus Island and Nauru. I don't think there is any justification for having those children in indefinite detention, living their lives under those conditions. Now, there needs to be a solution, and I think that this needs to be a solution that is thrashed out, as there are obviously political elements to this internationally. At the moment, the bipartisan solution is for all of the people on Manus Island and Nauru to be resettled in third countries.
I
think that would be ideal. And
But do we bring them to Australia if that can't happen?
I think realistically that's not going to happen because it's a bipartisan approach. And as an independent, I can speak out on what I think should happen, but I think realistically we need to have a look at what is likely to happen in the current political climate. And I don't hear any noises from either of the major parties about bringing anyone from Manus Island or Nauru to Australia. Mm. I would like to see some of the offers by countries like New Zealand taken up.
Mm. What about, let's get into some nitty-gritty of parliamentary stuff and the by-election now. You've got yourself into a tangle about preferences. So what is your position on preferences, on where your preferences will go or who you will do a preference deal with and why?
I won't be doing any preference deals. What I'm trying to do here is to win the by-election in Wentworth so that I can bring an independent voice to Canberra and so that I can represent the people of Wentworth. And I think the important thing here is that I am not interested in bringing down a government. I do think that government should serve their full term, and an independent is not a member of the opposition. An independent ideally is someone who can go into parliament and improve legislation. And so that would be how I would see my role there. In terms of a preference of one major party over the other, for me, I don't have a personal preference of one party over another as an independent. And so what my view is, the order of preferences is likely to determine the outcome of the election. And so I have made a decision based on what I think is most likely to be a preference order that will help me win the election over the Liberal Party candidate.
Mm. So what is your preference order now? Explain it to me.
I think we might wait till the How to Vote cards come out because we haven't seen the list of all of the nominees yet. And so I think we wait till we see that list and then, like every other candidate, I will issue a How to Vote card.
But do I understand you correctly that the Liberals will be ahead of Labor in terms of your preference allocation? Is that your position?
My position is that the Liberal candidate will be above the Labor candidate, and there are a couple of reasons for that. The main one is that is how I have been advised it is most likely that I will be able to, depending on how first votes go. Obviously, I want people to vote for me number one. If I'm number one or two, my preferences don't matter nearly as much, but in fact may not matter at all. But I think it in previous elections elsewhere in the country, we have seen that preferences have actually won or lost elections. In a majority of seats where there is a low primary vote for the major parties and an independent comes through, that is most often based on preferences and not on the primary vote.
But wouldn't the true independent quote, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the mechanics of actually winning and you are running to win.
Yes.
Right.
It's making the sausage.
Yeah, that's right. It's making the sausage. But would it not be a better pitch to the electorate in terms of your true independence to not issue a how-to-vote card at all? just say you can do whatever you like with your preferences. Because you're sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? If you put Labor right. ahead of the Liberals, you're a Labor stooge. If you put Liberals ahead of Labor, then you're a Liberal stooge.
I've been accused of both.
Well, no.
I've also been accused of being a Green stooge.
Oh,
and so I think that's a definition.
I wasn't aware of the Green stooge.
Oh,
sorry
yes,
about
yes,
that.
Because of the climate action
policy. Oh, of course, right.
And so, I think that probably is a definition of a true independent when everyone thinks you're someone else's stooge, but you're actually nobody's stooge.
Well,
nobody can tell me what to do.
But you've still got to get that message, haven't you? I mean, you've got to be able to convince people that you are nobody's stooge. So just how this impacts your preferences, you are making a judgment that putting the Liberals ahead of Labor is more likely to see you win the seat.
Although not high on the ballot form. And as I said, we have to see who the independents and other micro-parties are that put themselves forward. But we do know that micro-parties and independents with a whole lot of different preference anomalies have created some weird results in the past. And so I think in order to let people know what is most likely to get me elected as an independent, then you have to issue a how-to-vote card. That's just the reality of the situation. Mm-hmm. And in a seat, in this particular seat at this unique moment in time, I don't favour either of the major parties. However, it may well be to my advantage in terms of getting elected. And as we said, it's a long shot for me to get elected. Then there has to be a particular order of preferences. Now, the How to Vote card will have more detail on that. And as I said, I haven't got all of the information that I would need to put that together. But every single candidate who is coming forward for election is thinking all of these exact same things at the moment. They just haven't said it.
Well, been pressed on it.
Pressed on it. And they haven't come out and actually announced it yet. So at least I'm up front. One of the things that I have always been is glaringly honest about everything and not always to my benefit. But I think it's very, very important that I just let people know exactly what I think and why I am doing things. But the most important thing for me is about policy. The most important thing is for people to look at my policies and say, well, this is where you stand on these issues. And my policy positions are strong and have not changed in terms of their values in many, many years.
I want to come back to the Parliament, which is where I'm going with the next sausage question or the sausage-making question, but policy's put it in my head. I did forget to ask you. It's interesting that Scott Morrison is telegraphing that the government will do something in relation to religious freedom, but the word is, of course, this won't be in the public domain until the other side of the Wentworth by-election. Why do you think that's the case? And what's your position on whether or not we need a law to enshrine religious freedom?
I put a submission into the Ruddock Inquiry into so-called religious freedoms. I think it's an incredible act of doublespeak to call it religious freedoms, because what it's really about is using religion as an excuse to water down the anti-discrimination laws. And that worries me a lot. Obviously from the point of view of the LGBTQI community, but it worries me from the point of view of other minorities as well, that if somebody on the basis of religion can be given licence to discriminate and say, well, that's because of my religion, then I think that we're heading very much down the path of a religious-based rather than a secular government.
Mm-hmm.
And secular government is one of my position statements as well. I'm worried that... I'm worried about what the legislation might show. We're not going to see it before the by-election. We may not see it before the general election. It's hard to say. But I presented to that inquiry and I would like to see the report. And in fact, the report is being concealed from the public using cabinet privilege as an excuse. And they've had it for 4 months. And I don't understand why the public isn't able to see this report.
And you obviously think it needs to be released before...
It should be released. And I actually call on Scott Morrison to release this report of the Ruddock Inquiry before the Wentworth by-election and to release the proposed legislation so that people in Wentworth know what they are voting for when it comes to these so-called religious freedoms.
Okay. And now back to the Parliament. You said it's not the job, or words to the effect of it's not the job of the independent to tip out the government of the day, because obviously that's the backdrop to this election, is that the government might lose its one-seat majority in the House of Representatives if you win. Are there any circumstances, though, because, well, let's decode that. So what you mean by that is that you would guarantee confidence and supply to Scott Morrison in the event that you win, or the government, the coalition, you would guarantee confidence and supply, yes?
I have said I will guarantee supply. I have said I will guarantee confidence except in exceptional circumstances. Mm-hmm. I would not routinely just vote on every piece of legislation in the affirmative because I may strongly disagree with an element of the legislation or the legislation in its entirety. And that is, I believe, how other independents are behaving in Parliament at the moment as well. Mm. I do think that there is a trend towards independence because I think people are sick to death of people just spouting a party line and not really speaking and voting with their conscience. We saw finally, in the marriage equality debate, Parliament acting with conscience, where people were actually able to speak about how they felt and vote in the way that their conscience dictated. And that was such a refreshing breath of fresh air through the Parliament that day in December last year that we would do well to see more of that.
Just with confidence, though, you've put a slight caveat on it, which is that exceptional circumstances. Give me an idea of what exceptional circumstances are.
Well, let's say if the religious freedoms legislation was put before me and I found it dangerous and offensive, then I would not be able to support that particular legislation.
But would that then become a confidence issue in the government? You see, we need to get this straight. Is there anything on the government's agenda that would make you unlikely to back them in a confidence debate? Because what will happen if you win this seat, my presumption is, once we all return to Parliament, that Labor would move a confidence vote just to test whether or not Morrison can command the chamber. So I think we do need to be clear about what circumstances might influence you to vote, well, to vote against the government.
I would vote according to my conscience, and I think it would be unwise to hypothecate a reaction now at this particular point in time. As I've said, I will always vote with my conscience, and I would vote based on what the overwhelming majority of people in Wentworth wanted me to do.
So you'd ballot them first, or how would you ascertain what people in Wentworth want you to do?
We talk to people and listen to people. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what a good representative does.
So you take soundings in the electorate to guide your vote. So the answer to the question really in a confidence vote is maybe at this point, isn't it? It's not yes.
Look, I think the role of the independent is not to make and break governments. I think the role of the independent is to modify legislation to make sure that it is something that is in the best interest of the people that they represent, as in the people of Wentworth in this instance and the broader Australian community. And I think that the important role of an independent is to bring that independent voice to Parliament. The people of Australia will have an opportunity to decide who their next government will be within a year. And that will be the time for the government to be brought to account one way or the other. And I don't think a by-election is the time to do that. I think that governments should serve their full terms. I think, in fact, that there is a very strong case for fixed four-year terms. I think it's very hard for a government to do something in 2.5 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so to go into Parliament, say, you know, I would not go into Parliament saying, you know, I'm here to force another general election in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think that we need to have the government serve out its term. I also think, frankly, that Prime Ministers should serve out the term as well. And the reason that we're in this situation at the moment is that
one didn't. But okay, again. But again, for clarity, so you're saying you want the government to serve
its full term.
So that suggests that you would not lightly support a no confidence motion.
I would not lightly support a no confidence motion.
But you're not rubber stamping government legislation. Is that the distinction you're trying to
Correct.
Draw? Right. Okay. No, I get that now. So it's not just because you are elected, if that's what happens, telling the voters that you don't want to force an immediate election doesn't mean that the government gets whatever its legislative agenda is through the Parliament.
Correct.
That's the distinction you're trying to draw.
Yes, and I think that that's a very effective role for an independent.
Mm-hmm. What about Peter Dutton? I just for the record, Karen's face was something to behold at that moment. No, let me be specific. There are some questions, as I'm sure you know, because you will have been following the developments over the last few weeks, about whether or not Peter Dutton is constitutionally eligible to be in the Parliament at the moment. There's been a debate about his family childcare interests. He only narrowly survived a no confidence motion in the last sitting week. There is another motion sitting around to try and get him referred to the High Court. How would you vote?
I'm science trained, and because I'm science trained, I rely on evidence. I have not seen all the evidence relating to Peter Dutton and whether he is eligible or not to sit in Parliament under Section 44. And so I would need to see all the evidence before I made a decision about that. And that's as far as I'm prepared to be pushed on that one, because I don't think that that's an off-the-top-of-the-head statement that I think anybody should be making.
No, fair enough. Just last question, because it's sort of fascinating to me. How does an independent campaign in a seat like Wentworth, up against the resources of the major parties, just in a practical sense, how are you going to go about campaigning over the next few weeks? It's, you know, I sort of struggle to get my mind around door knocking, but anyway, maybe you do. Tell me how you do it.
We're door knocking.
Right.
Look, the thing about being an independent is that we don't have the resources or the infrastructure of a major party. And so nobody was expecting a by-election. And so it was the farthest thing from my mind a month ago. So you imagine you sort of wake up one day and think, oh my gosh, I have to make a decision about whether I actually stand to go for federal parliament, because it really was the farthest thing from my mind. And sort of within a 3-week period, people were asking me if I would stand, and we had to spend those 3 weeks figuring out if we could actually mount a campaign infrastructure to actually do this.
And can you? Can you?
Well, we have done. I mean, obviously, we're sort of making a lot of it up as we go, sort of having core flutes made and, you know, finding that a lot of them have been taken down off polls overnight, which is really frustrating because, you know, they were bought with donations from grassroots volunteers with crowdfunding. We've had to, you know, develop an entire campaign around within the last sort of couple of weeks. And so this really relies on getting out and meeting people as much as I can, talking to people, and that means we're at railway stations, we're at ferry stops, where I was this morning, we're out on the street, we are door knocking. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good old fashioned, you know, rubber shoe, out we go in the runners, hitting the streets, and we are knocking on doors. I don't get a few shocked faces. I don't think anyone's ever seen a door knocker in Wentworth before.
Well, I don't imagine many people would have. No.
It's been held by the Liberal Party since 1944. So, you know, it is unusual for it to be so hotly contested. And but the thing that I will say about Wentworth, it is not a golden ticket, you know, that here you go, you're the pre-selected Liberal candidate and off to the chocolate factory. This is actually going to have to be very hard fought. And I think that the Liberal Party is going to have to justify why they should be re-elected based on the fact that they removed one of the most popular local members they had in the country and one of their greatest assets.
Well, but you've still got to, though, have the woman and manpower to have your volunteers, get them out, doing the door knocks, get them out. Are you phone banking? Like, what are you doing? Like,
well, we're getting the message out, and on the flyer is the website address, www.karenphelps.com.au, bit of a plug. And people are going to the website, they're signing up as volunteers, they are calling us up, and just in the last couple of days, we've had a 40% increase in volunteers. So we've got people who are coming into the office, picking up a purple shirt, picking up a handful of flyers, and going to the local railway station. And, you know, we have a talk with them, we brief them beforehand and say, you know, these are my policies and this is what I stand for. And if they have any further questions, ask them to ring us in or send an email and we'll let them know. I'm getting out to the media. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I'm able to get out to the media and talk about what my policies are. But, I mean, really, we've come from a standing start because we really didn't know that this was coming at us. And so, really, I guess what you're getting is the very raw, real, you know, on the ground campaign,
yes, yes.
Grassroots crowdfunding. We've got a few fundraisers coming up with people in the local area who've said, you know, come along, have a cup of tea, talk to Karen.
Anyone significant, though, by way of donations? I mean, I understand the grassroots model, but have you got financial backers that, you know, can kick in, that have got means, that can be helpful?
No, Jackie and I are underwriting the campaign, and we're both used to running businesses, and we run on a tight budget. So, you know, this is a tight budget, run like a small business, run carefully. Every cent that we spend, we need to account for. And people are coming behind us with crowdfunding, with small donations. You know, if they can, you know, donate enough to pay for a couple of T-shirts, we're absolutely thrilled. So Well, you know, it's a big ask, and we're doing our best.
BYO lunch, everybody. Karen Phelps, thanks for joining us.
Well, Jackie actually brings lunch in for everyone every day.
There you go. It's not quite as bad as BYO lunch. Anyway, thank you very much for the conversation. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Miles Martignoni for producing and to Hannah Izzard for her assistance on this episode. Remember, if you do like the podcast, please do subscribe using your favourite podcast app. Also share, tell your friends. That's helpful. We'll be back again next week. Not sure with what, but stay tuned.